Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chaf Vav. We are holding on daf Kuf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, about 7 lines before the end of the page, at Pekak HaChalon. This is the last daf of the 17th parak, and Be'ez Hashem will begin the 18th parak of Masech Shabbos today. First, we're going to discuss which circumstances the Chum allow a person to use a window shutter on Shabbos, and very specifically, whether they need to at least be connected to the house in order to be able to use them on Shabbos. Then we're going to go on to discuss whether it's reasonable to paskin like Rabbi Lezer's restrictions on using window shutters on the basis of a Stam Mishnah that supports his position, or maybe we should go like other Shitos, and we'll discuss what the other conflicting sources are. And then the 17th parak finishes with a discussion of when covers of Kalim are Muktzah and when covers of Kalim are not Muktzah. And the factors that help determine the status of the cover is whether the Kli that it covers is attached to the ground and whether the cover has handles. Those two factors ultimately will determine whether the covers themselves are Muktzah or not. And then we begin the 18th parak with the discussion under which circumstances the person is allowed to clear boxes from a storage area on Shabbos. What kind of tzorech would be enough of a tzorech to remove boxes out of storage on Shabbos? So let's begin where we're up to now. Pekak HaChalon. In the Mishnah we learned that Rabbi Lazar holds that you can use a window shutter only if it is kasher vitaluy. It has to be tied to the window and hanging from the window, as opposed to dragging on the ground. Not dragging on the ground, hanging, suspended in mid-air from the window. And then the Chacham said in the Mishnah, bein kach u'bein kach pokekin bo, that either way you could use the window shutter, which is somewhat unclear, because we just said two qualifications that the window shutters need to have. They need to be both kashur and talui. So what's bein kach u'bein kach? Does bein kach u'bein kach mean that it doesn't matter whether it's yes, whether it is kashur or not kashur? Or does bein kach u'bein kach mean it doesn't matter whether it's talui or not talui? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol modim she'ein osin o'al arai b'tchilu b'yom tov, vein tzarech lomar. Well, this is before that. This is just by the Pekak HaChlon, by the original halacha. I was jumping the gun a little bit. Pekak HaChlon, the original halacha, that you're not allowed to use a Pekak HaChlon. So Rabbi, what's the issue with shuttering a window on Shabbos? So Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol modim she'ein osin o'al arai b'tchilu b'yom tov, vein tzarech lomar b'Shabbos. Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to make a temporary structure in Yantif, and therefore, obviously, you're not allowed to make a temporary structure on Shabbos. Lo nechluku ela la hosif. The whole machlokas is, when you already have a structure in place, can you add on to the existing structure? Reb Lazar Amarein will see from Biyom Tovein Tzarech Lomar B'Shabbos. Reb Lazar in our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be mosif, and not even on Yantif, certainly not on Shabbos. The Chamar Mosifim B'Shabbos Vein Tzarech Lomar Biyom Tov. And the Cham say that, yes, you can. You could be mosif on Shabbos, and that's why the Chum say in our Mishnah that ben kach poking bo, that you're allowed to use window shutters because you're allowed to add to an existing structure on Shabbos, and obviously if you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, you're allowed to do it on Yantif as well. So Blazer is machmir about window shutters based on this idea of mosif alo alarai, the Chum mermekel based on the idea that it's mutter to be mosif on an ohel on Shabbos. So the question that the Rishonim discuss over here is, when we say that everyone agrees that you're not allowed to make an ohel arai b'tchila, that you're not allowed to create a new structure, what kind of structure are we talking about? Rashi writes in the first very wide line in the bottom of the page, Sheinos no'al arai lifros machtzeles al dalad mechitzos o al dalad kundesim lios tzel la'ohel menachama, to spread out a mat over four walls or over four poles to create a roof. V'dafka gag aval mechitza lav ohelu. Rashi says, very big chiddush, it's only an issue to make a roof, but if you're making a mechitza, if you're making a wall, that's not called an ohel. V'shari leparsel tznius k'damrina be'erivin b'vda d'shmuel, you're allowed to spread out, make a wall for tznius purposes, for privacy purposes, like we see in the Gemara in Erivin with Shmuel. U'pekak achalon demasnisin mishum debinyin kavuahu mechzi kemosif ala binyin. He says, the only reason why in our Gemara you're not allowed to use shutters for a window, even though we're not talking about skylights, we're not talking about making a roof, we're talking about a window that's adding to a wall, it's not adding to a roof, he says, that's a different issue. That's because it's a binyan kavua. Your house is a binyan kavua. And when you have a binyan kavua, you're definitely not allowed to add to a binyan kavua. But to create a mechitza is not a problem of Shabbos, only a problem to create a roofed structure on Shabbos. Says Tosfos, Pirish Mekuntras Lohasar Ol El Lamal Begagav B'defonos Loh K'demuch B'vdu D'Shmuel B'chol Gagos. So first of all, Tosfos says, what exactly is this story with Shmuel? The Itmar, the story goes as follows. Chatzer Kosel Shenifritza. They had the wall of a chatzer that broke down. So Rav Amar in Metaltanel B'dalad Amos. Rav says you're not allowed to carry things around that chatzer anymore because the wall is down. Ushmuel Amar Zemetaltal Adikum Rechitza. Zemetaltal Adikum Rechitza. You're allowed to carry up until the base of where the wall was. Rav never actually expressed his psak in the forum of a discussion of halacha. It was based on a story that happened. Shmuel was sitting in a certain chatzer. And the wall came down in the chatzer. So Shmuel said, okay, take a piece of cloth, take a cloak, take a shirt, something, and put it up where the wall was, meaning create a mechitza. Adrinu Rav la'ape, and Rav turned away in anger. So Shmuel, lamale l'mevarachi, amr zemetalt l'alekar mechitza. Well, according to Shmuel, why did he even need to do this? Why did he need to repair the wall? Anyway, you're allowed to carry in the chatzer. Says Mar Shmuel, tznusi abalma hu David. No, he wanted the wall there for tznius, for privacy purposes. Alma mashma dolda defano shari l'mevarachi. So says Rashi, you see from there that it's mutter to make the oval. Aye, but Rav said it was usher. No, Rav's problem wasn't in the making of the oval. Well, Rav's problem was in carrying the cloth to put it up, because Rav held once the wall's down, you're not allowed to carry in the chatzer. That was Rav's whole issue about carrying in the chatzer. So says Tosfos, but wait a second, Vakasha, Dal Karch Shaykh Israel Afilu Bidefanos. No, it has to be that there's an issur of making an ohel even by making walls, because we find that when it comes to a dofen sukkah, the Gemara says, Vam Rabba Rachan Ram Rabbi Yochanan Kol Modim Sheinos Nolarai Bitchila Umeshani Habidofen Shlishus Vabidofen. The Gemara asks, but wait a second, we're not allowed to make walls on Shabbos and Yantiv. Gemara says there's a difference between the third wall of a sukkah and the fourth wall of a sukkah. So apparently some walls you're not allowed to make on Shabbos. So how could Rashi just make a blanket statement that walls are never a problem, it's only roofs that are a problem? So says Tosfos, Elinir l'Rabbeinu Tam, de Shapir Shaykh b'defanos Oel, Heicha de Mechitza Moelas Laheter. Big Yisod of Tosfos. That when are you not allowed to make a wall on Shabbos? When it's a Mechitza Hamateras, when the mechitza comes to serve some halachic purpose. For instance, third wall of a sukkah. That's what makes a sukkah kosher. But if it's a mechitza just for tznius or bialma, it's just stamp for privacy, but has nothing to do with being matir any halacha. For instance, fourth wall of a sukkah, where the sukkah is already kosher, you just make a fourth wall because it's a little more na'im, it's a little more comfortable to sit in a sukkah where you're completely surrounded. So that's not going to be a problem of making an ohel. That's only a tosefes bialma, that's only a tznius bialma, and that's not going to be a problem at all making on Shabbos. In Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Tes Vav, Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos, that a mechitza that you're making for to be matir something is aser, a mechitza that you're just making tznius to be alma is mutter. The Ramah writes, a mechitza b'fnei aner, kedei l'shamish mitaso. What about that? Is that l'tzniusa? On the one hand, it's for tznius. If you make a mechitza in front of a candle to permit tashma shamita. On the other hand, it's matir, the tashma shamita. Ramah says, aser. He says, that's a mechitza hamateres. The Magen Avraham points out over there in Sifkat and Gimel, it seems to be against the Gemara. Because the Gemara in Beit Chav Bei says, Ma lichvos haner mipnei dover acher. Are you allowed to extinguish? It asks, are you allowed to extinguish a flame on Yontif to permit Tashmish? So the Gemara over there says, what do you mean? Why would you extinguish the flame? Efshel lasos mechitza. You can make a mechitza. So it seems to be explicit in the Gemara that you're allowed to make a mechitza in bifnei aner to permit tashmish on yantif. And why would we ever be mechalik between Shabbos and yantif on this level? So that seems to be machlokas Ramah and the Magen Avraham. Also, Rashi says, Einos in the Ola Rai, Rashi says, to make a machzelas al dalin mechitzos or dalin kundesim, lios tzel lo ol menachama, to create a shade. The Ran writes this way as well. So ask the Bach, why are you allowed to unfold a folding table on Shabbos? Aren't you, after all, setting up an ohel? You're creating a roof over the area underneath it. So why is it mutter to unfold the folding table on Shabbos? So says the Bach, that it's only usher when the purpose of the ohel is, like Rashi says, litzel. You're creating something that protects the area underneath. But when the ikker purpose of the ohel that you're creating is to use what's above it and not to use it for underneath, not to protect what's underneath it, then it's going to be mutter. So let's let's say you want to fold the folding table because there's something muktzah out in the yard and it's about to rain and you want to protect the item that's out there, so you unfold the folding table to protect the item. You have a generator out there and they say that you should keep it covered, so you unfold the folding table in order to cover it. So l'chora, that would be a problem, because then you're not just doing it for the area above it, you're doing it for the area below it. So that's going to be a problem. Now, we mentioned the mechitza that's made for tznius bialma is mutter. So the Taz writes in Sifkat Nalef in Shintazvav, in the name of the Mordechai, that you're allowed to make a mechitza bein anashim lenashim b'shas hadrasha, because that's only it's only l'sha'a, it's only temporary, it's only for temporary use, and also l'chora, because it's tznius bialma, that it's not considered to be something that's really matir, even if you hold that you need it for the drasha. But the whole point is that you don't need a din mechitza, you just need something for tznius, you need something to create a sense of tznius. So that's why in mechitza in the Beis HaKnesses, I think you are allowed to set up on Shabbos. We assume that you are allowed to put it up, because it's even though you need it to be allowed to daven, you're not allowed to daven and shul doesn't have mechitza, but the reason is because of tznius, meaning you have to, it doesn't have to be the halachas of, you don't have to fit all the halachas of mechitza for mechitza Beis HaKnesses. It just has to create a sense of partition, a sense that there's a separation, and then create a sense of tznius. Okay, so that's in terms of the mechitza. Says the Gemara Vayter now, v'chamrom ben kach u'ben kach pokin bo. So the Chum said, either way, you're allowed to use the window shutter on Shabbos. So my ben kach u'ben kach, what does either way mean? Does it mean either when it's tied on or not tied on? Does it mean either when it's dangling or it's actually dragging on the ground? So Amar Rav Yabba, Amar Rav Kahana, ben kosher, ben she'eno kosher, v'husha mesukan. It means that whether it's tied on or whether it's not tied on, provided that it's mesukan, provided that it was prepared for it to be used on Shabbos, you already had prepared it before Shabbos. Rashi says, muchan me'atmal kach. It was designated beforehand to be used for this purpose, and so it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be tied on, as long as you just didn't bring it out of left field, it was meant to be used to shutter the window. How do you know that you could be so makel that even if it's not tied on, that you could assume that you're allowed to use it? Maybe what the Chum mean when they say ben kach ben kach is that it has to be tied on, but it doesn't have to be dangling. It could actually be dragging on the ground, and that would be good enough. That's close enough. After all, Amar Rabba Bar Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ki machlokas kan, kach machlokas benagar anigrar. The same machlokas we have by a window shutter, we have by a door bolt. They would take a large peg or a large piece of wood and bolt the door shut. And what's the halach about using a nagar anigrar on Shabbos titnan? Nagar anigrar no'alin bo b'mikdash avlo b'medina. You're allowed to bolt the door shut with a with this large wooden item on in a mikdash, but not b'medina. In the mikdash, you're allowed to do it, as Rashi says, no'alin bo b'mikdash to keep the kasher bo miyuchad va'omid hulika. That since, after all, the building is already finished, all you're doing is you're using this to lock the door shut, so it's not really bona. What's the iser? It's a shvus, it's a gezera midrabana, that it looks like binyan or that it's similar to binyan. But the rule is vein shvus b'migdash. There's no iserim drabana of shvus that in the migdash. We assume in the migdash people are very, very careful, and the Chum didn't have to make a shvus b'migdash. So you're not allowed to do it b'medina, but you are allowed to do it b'mikdash. We're going to focus obviously on the halacha b'medina, because that's what we're trying to prove. Again, we're trying to prove that just like whatever the halacha is going to be by nagar and nigrar, it should be the same halacha by a window shutter, and therefore by a window shutter we want to say that it still needs to be connected, it just is allowed to be dragging on the ground. So we're going to try to show that by nagar and nigrar in medina, it just needs to be connected, but it could be dragging on the ground. So you're not allowed to use it typically b'medina. V'amunach kan v'kan aser. If it's resting on the ground, it's not even connected at all, then everyone would agree, both in the mikdash and in the medina, is going to be aser. It's going to be aser even in the mikdash. Why? Says Rashi, she'enu kashu klal. If it's not tied on at all, el kshu shomto minachor manicho al gabe karka. When you take it out of the door, you put it on the ground. Hilkach kishatoko b'shabes bonahu v'isur d'oraisu af b'mikdash. So this has nothing to do with the shavus. Now you're taking something that's not at all connected to the binyan, and you're making it part of the binyan, being mosif al binyan kavua. So that's going to be in the d'oraisa. both on Shabbos and Yontif. That's how Rashi understands. If you look at Tosos, Tosos does not understand that way. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Amunach, Pirush Rashi, Shekshetoko B'Shabbos, Bonehu, V'Yisur Daraisi Ika, Ve'ino Mashma Shehebo Yisur Daraisa, Kivin She'ino Mevatel Sham, Elanir, meaning it's not Nisr Daraisa because you're not being Mosavel Binyan Kavua. Mosavel Binyan Kavua is when you're adding something to remain permanently on the Binyan Kavua. You build an extension on a Binyan Kavua. That's not what you're doing over here. You're putting something in that you're then going to take out again. That the whole issue is an issue of tiltal. It's an issue of muktzah. And apparently, even though it's only an issue midrabanan of muktzah, still it's going to be asr b'migdash. It's only when it's a shvus, a gzeira relating to binyan, that we're going to say we're not going to make such gzeiros in the migdash. But when it's an issue of tiltal, we're going to make it. We're going to have such isur midrabanan even in the migdash. So back in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hamunach b'migdash va'nigrar b'medina. He says if it's resting on the ground, then that's what you're allowed to use in the migdash. You're still allowed to use it in the migdash because it's designated from before Shabbos for that use, so it's no problem. And nigrar b'medina, and b'medina you're allowed to use it if it's not resting on the ground, but it's dangling in a way that it's dragging on the ground. So v'tanya ezu nagrar nigrar shenol b'migdash avlo b'medina. What does it mean? What is the nagar nigra that we're talking about? That you're allowed to lock the door within the mikdash, but not in the medina. Kol shekasher v'talui v'rosho megiyah la'aretz. Anything that's tied on and hanging, and one end of it reaches all the way down to the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ze af b'medina mutar. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if it has that, if it's kasher and talui, so then even b'medina, and one end is hanging down to the ground, is megiyah la'aretz. Even b'medina, that's mutar. Ela ezu she b'medina aser. What's going to be aser b'medina? Kol she'ena lo kasher v'lo talui v'shomto manicha b'keren zavis. If it's not tied on, it's not hanging at all, and all you do is you take it off completely and you put it somewhere else entirely. And we assume that the Tan of Nagar Nigra is Rabbi Lazar, and therefore which Rabbi Lazar? The same Rabbi Lazar that says by Pekakach alone that you need both kashur and tali, that you need the pekakach alone, the window shutter, to be tied on to the house and to be hanging from the house. So what do you see? That Rabbi Yehuda must hold like the Rabbanan, right? If we're going to say that the one that says Nagar and Nigrar, that it's aser, is going to be assuming like Rabbi Lazar, that Pekakach alone has these extra restrictions, so it must be Rabbi Yehuda lines up with Rabbanan. So what do you see? That the Rabbanan require kshira, that it needs to be kosher onto the house. So how can you say that when the Chacham say Bein Kach or Bein Kach, it means Bein Kosher, Bein She'eno Kosher? We see from Nagar and Nigra that no, it doesn't, that it needs to be kosher. What we don't care about is if it's dangling in midair or dragging on the ground. That part we don't care about. That's what they mean, bein kach u bein kach. But definitely it needs to be kosher if it's going to line up with the proper bar plukta of Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, Amrlei anada amri ki hai tana. He says, no, I hold like a different tana. There's a different tana that the Rabbanan may align with. Not Rabbi Yehuda. The tanya, the Braisa goes as follows. If you set aside a reed to use to open the door with and close the door with, if it's kosher vitalu, if you have both requirements, that it's tied on and it's hanging down, then you're allowed to use it to open and close the door with. Ain kosher v'talui, ain poseach v'nolbo. If it doesn't have both of those requirements, it may not be used. That aligns very well with the shita of Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, that it needs to be both kosher and talui. Who's the bar plukta? But over here, instead of it being Rabbi Yehuda who argues and says that I agree you need kosher, I just don't agree that you need talui, it's from Shimon Gamliel. And Shimon Gamliel says something different. Shimon Gamliel omer, mesukan af al pi she'eino kosher, that if you designate it before Shabbos, even if it's not tied on, that's going to be fine. So maybe that's the sheet of the Chab in our Mishnah. They align not with Rabbi Yehuda about the Nagar and Nigrar, they align with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel about this kana that you use to be poseach v'noel, that you use to open and close the door. So that's, and that sheet says that it does not even need to be kosher. So a pipe that's used to lock the door can be used even if it's not at all connected, so long as you were mentally prepared to use it before Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Yochanan passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel. You can use the pole even if it's not attached to the door. And we're going to see in a second, we're going to question whether Rav Yochanan really generally over here does pass like Rav Shimon, Gamliel. Before we get to whether in general he does pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, the couple of small ha'aras. First of all, we said that bein b'Shabbos bein b'yomtov, right? We discussed earlier that ein tzarich lomar b'yomtov, that you're allowed to use these things on. I'm sorry, no, that was way earlier. We said already on when we're talking about being mosif al ol arai. So we said that if you're allowed to be mosif on Noel on Shabbos, then for sure you're allowed to do it on yomtov. So why would we why would we ever think to be mechalik between Shabbos and yomtov? After all, the only difference we know of between Shabbos and Yantif is Ochel Nefesh. So why would I even think that there should be a difference? So the Chasam Sofer's Mitari, it's based on Tosfos. Tosfos writes that in Yantif, the really binyan should be mutter mishum mitoch. That mitoch shutz will tzor chutrna mishalol tzor chochel nefesh. And it's only asumi drabban because it looks like uvdu dechol. So one might think, therefore, that there should be a big difference between Shabbos and Yantif, that making an Oel Arai would be Asra and Shabbos, not in Yantif. The Yisrum Drabbanon of Bona, since the whole issue of Bona, according to Tosfos, is only an issue Midrabbanon, so based on Tosfos Tadi Hamid Aleph, so maybe the Yisrum Drabbanon of Bona won't apply to Yantif. Another quick Ha'ara, the Gemara over here says that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Halach is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Whenever you have a statement to the Gemara, a declaration, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so that's telling me that you need a declaration. Meaning a declaration tells me what the halacha is. Declaring what the halacha is tells me what the halacha is. But it also tells me that without this statement, I would not have known what the halacha is. If there are general rules that for instance, we don't say in every sugya where we have machlokes beis Shammai beis Hillel, halacha ki beis Hillel. Because we know there's a rule that when Sham Beis Hillel, Halacha Beis Hillel, that we don't follow Shitas Beis Shammai with a few exceptions. The Mishnayos and Edios point out the exceptions. We make a big deal out of the exceptions because that's something we would not have known otherwise. But you don't tell me every single time that the Halacha is like Beis Hillel. So there is a rule in Shas, Kol Makom Sheshanu Mishum Gamliel Mishnah Seinu Halacha Kamoso, that anytime we have Mishum Gamliel mentioned in the Mishnah, we always pass like him. So the Achronim discussed, Rishonim already discussed. What about over here? We have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and we have the Gemara explicitly paskening like him. Isn't this already covered under the rule that Kol Makom Shana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishnasenu Halacha Kamoso? So Tosos in Erev in Daf Pe'al from Beis says what you see from this Gemara and others like it is that the rule of Kol Makom Shana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishnasenu Halacha Kamoso is only in Mishnayis, not in Brisos. Over here it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in a Brisa, and that rule does not govern a Brisa. That seems to be clear in Tosos of Mema Meral over here. Masech Shabbos as well. That's the sheet of Tosos. However, the Shach and Choshen Mishmat Simin Kufayin Alf Sivkat and Tes Simin Shin Pei Zayin Sivkat and Yudbeis writes that this klal of Kol Makom Sheshan Rav Shimon Gamliel is lav dafka in Mishnayis. It's even in other Tanaic sources, Tosefta's, Brises, etc. And obviously, therefore, we have a kasha from here. The Maritz Chayis points this out every time this comes up. Maritz Chayis in Gittin gives a list, if I'm not mistaken, but it comes up over there in Gittin Daf Yud Tes as well. And in fact, the Yad Malachi tries to bring many rayos that embrace us also, that they're not Bechal Mishnah Seinu, that they are different. And he rejects the Shach, and he suggests that the Bali Atosos got this right, that Kol Makom Shana Rav Shimon Gamliel the Mishnah Seinu means only in Mishnayis and not in Brisos or anything else. I'm not sure if the Maritz Chai says anything. He doesn't say anything over here, I don't think. But he says in Gittin, he brings up this issue. And one final issue, once we mention Pekakach alone and fixing and adding to a binyan, so Rav Zilberstein, not exactly directly related to our sugya, but closely related, somewhat related, Rav Zilberstein said that they had a shaila. There was a fight in a shul, if you can imagine such a thing. They were arguing in a shul about whether they should keep the window open or keep the window closed. They didn't have such a fancy system with climate control like we have, so they were relied on the windows. So they wanted to know, so they people were fighting whether whether they should keep it open or closed. So the people who wanted the window open, who were hot and wanted the window open, one of the guys got so angry and he was so insistent, he decided he was going to open the window permanently. And he went and he removed the entire window from the wall, and that's how he made his point. So it was on Shabbos. So he obviously violated the Melacha D'oraisa on Shabbos. Okay, good. So he violated, probably sounds like a shota, maybe he's not chayv mitzvahs, I don't know. But so he violated some sort of Melacha D'oraisa on Shabbos. The question everyone else had is, can they sit near the window? Are they allowed to get hanah from the Melacha that this guy did on Shabbos? So generally speaking, this is an Issa D'oraisa, and when Issa D'oraisa is done on Shabbos, it's also to get hanah from the Melacha. However, Rav Zilberstein suggests that over here maybe it's more like hotza'a, that when someone does hotza'a on an item, are you allowed to get hana from that item? So by hotza'a, we know you haven't done anything to the item. The Bir Halacha writes in Shin Yud Ches, in the name of the Chayyada, mi'ikra din, you're allowed to get hana from an object that someone did hotza'a on. Because they didn't change the object, they didn't do anything to the object. When someone cooks something for you, bakes something for you, so that's a complete qualitative change. Hotza'a, as a malacha garua, part of the reason why it's a malacha garua is because nothing happens to the object. Mali kan, mali b'makom acher. It's just moving from one spot to a different spot. And there's been no change in the object. There's no isser, real isser, says the Bir Halacha, in the name of the Chayyadam, to get anar from the object. However, it says the Chayyadam, you should be machmir b'kol isuri Torah kimo b'mevashal. You should be machmir on this like you are by mevashal as well, but not meikar adin. So the chora by the window as well. He's not really doing anything to the wind. It's just that he removed the window that was in the way. So he didn't really he did something to the window, but you're not benefiting from the window. You're benefiting from the wind. Plus over here, maybe there's more reason to be makel, because there was another way to be able to benefit from the cool air outside. You could open the window, and that would have worked as well. So you thought that maybe, even though you should probably reconsider whether you want to daven at that shul, but you should that it's mutter to sit by the window in that situation. Okay, that was his with our Rav Zilberstein shaila for the day. So moving along now, we just had that Rabbi Yochanan Paskins like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Again, Rabbi Yochanan Paskins that a pipe that's used to lock a door can be used even if it's not at all connected, as long as you're mentally prepared to use it before Shabbos. Good. So says Gemara, Miyom Rabbi Yochanan Hachid. Does Rabbi Yochanan really pasken that way? Vatana and the Kol Kisuyei Hakelim sheyesh lahem beis achiza nitalim b'Shabbos. Any coverings for kelim that have a handle, you're allowed to handle on Shabbos. You're allowed to move on Shabbos. They're not muktzah. V'am Rabbi Dibar Shilom Ravasi. Am Rabbi Yochanan v'ushiyesh toras kli alehen. That's only if they're considered to be a kli. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan, even though Rabbi Yochanan pasken Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here, they accuse a pole even if it's not attached to the door. He disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in that Rabbi Yochanan only allows moving if one could use it as a kli on its own, whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that simply deciding to use it as a lock is good enough to take away the muktzah status. So you see that's a stira, that on the one hand Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would hold a decision is good enough to remove muktzah status, whereas Rabbi Yochanan would hold moving it to use it as a kli, sheish toras kli alav, you need to actually move it to use it as a kli to take away its muktzah status. And if you're going to say that over here also there's Torah's Kli Alav in our case as well, where he passed on Rav Shimon Gamliel, does Rav Shimon Gamliel really say Torah's Kli Alav? What happened? You have palm branches that were originally cut to be used for wood, and then what do you do to make them non-muktzah? Nimlach, you change your mind and you decide you want to use it li yeshiva. Sarech lekasher, Tanakama says, not good enough to change your mind. You need to actually do something. You need to do a maisa. You need to tie it together l'shem yeshiva. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, ain't sarech lekasher. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, nah, you don't need to do anything. Changing your mind is good enough to remove a muktzah status. So don't you see Rabbi Yochanan doesn't paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds to remove a muktzah status, you don't need to do anything. Rabbi Yochanan says, you do need to do something. So answers the Gemara, these are two totally separate issues. Rabbi Yochanan sphere lekavasei b'chada. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to hold like everything Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ever says. He could agree with him on one issue, namely on the issue of Masukan Vafal Pishenu Kasher, that if you have an item that's designated to be used, even if it's not actually tied on to the door, it could be used as a lock in the door. And he disagrees with him about something, that by Torah's Kli, that Rabbi Yochanan requires Torah's Kli, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel does not require Torah's Kli, meaning the two are unrelated machlokasim. We don't have any such rule that an Amora has to follow a single Tana on every issue. Whenever someone's Amora Hara'a, people often have that misconception. It's one of the big mistakes people think. If you follow Rav Moshe, you have to follow all of his Pesachim. It's not true. You can follow the Pesachim of Rav Moshe that you think are correct. If you're Amora Hara'a, in your own right, you follow whatever you think is correct. You follow then, you follow, and if you disagree with Rav Eliashiv and you think Rav Eliashiv is correct in a different machlokas, and follow Rav Eliashiv in the other machlokas. That's perfectly fine. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to follow everything Rabbi Shimon Liel ever said. That's not called shopping. If you go around picking everyone's kulas, that's a problem. If you go around picking a Rav Shechter, you say people, every posik is entitled to a mishagas. You know that they have one thing that they're crazy about. If you go around collecting everyone else's mishagasim, then you're a mishugana. That's something that you're not supposed to do. So okay, darsh Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha pischa d'reish kalusa alach Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha darshened by the pesach of the reish kalusa that the alach is like Rabbi Eliezer. Masav Rav Amram midvreim lamanu, meaning Rabbi Elazar in our mission about the window shutters, right? So midvreim lamanu shapokin modin v'kosher b'shabbes. So we see from there that pokin that you're allowed to close up a shutter umodin and measure v'kosherin and tie it on Shabbos as long as it's not a kesher shal kayama. Amle abayi may de teich mishum dektani stama nagra nigra and mishum dektani stama nagra nigra nami stama hi. Wait a second. Why would you hold this way? It's because you have a stam mishnah that paskins that way. But nagra nigra is also a stam mishnah and that says the other way. So says Mar filu hachi ma'isarav. No, ma'isarav is always going to be the ultimate deciding factor. And since over here we have a ma'isarav, that's why we want to paskin later. So even though there's a stam mishnah in Ervin that supports Rabbi Elazar, the stam mishnah that works against Rabbi Elazar seems more authoritative because it's a ma'isarav. It tells us of gedolei atanaim who actually held this way in practice, who actually did something about this. So that's how we know to say against Rabbi Elazar. That's the more authoritative stam mishnah than the other stam mishnah. Okay, meaning again the mishnah in Kufnun Zayin tells the story of Rabbi Tzadok's father. And Abishol ben Bitnis, where they shuttered a window with something that wasn't attached to the house. So you see that's the Maisa Rav against Rabbi Elazar, that even though it wasn't attached to the house, they did it, they were willing to rely on it. So based on that Stam Mishnah, that's the stronger Stam Mishnah. That's also Klal and Halacha, that a lot of times you have stiras in which way to paskin, you have stiras in different Gemaras, should we paskin this way, that way? So generally speaking, Maisa Rav makes something a more authoritative source, because what's discussed in the Beis Medrash doesn't take as much confidence in your Pesach to say something in the Beis Medrash that the halacha should be this way in theory, should be that way in theory, as it does to actually say it l'maisa. When you're paskin l'maisa and you know that someone was willing to rely on something l'maisa, then you know that they had extreme confidence in their Pesach, and therefore that gives a little more credence, a little more weight to that Pesach that they issue. Okay, final mission in the parak. Any covering of kelim that have a handle on it are allowed to be handled on Shabbos. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos. They're not mukta. That's only with the kisoy of karka, something that covers up the ground. But kisoy akelim, if it's kelim that aren't attached to the ground, that aren't in the ground, it's covering for a regular kli, then for sure nital b'shabbos, then you're definitely allowed to be nital b'shabbos. So basically the Mishnah is one halacha, it's machlokas, tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, when covers of kelim are considered muksa, when they're not considered muksa. If it's a kisoy akarka, then everyone agrees it needs a beis achiza not to be mukta. Without a beis achiza, it is mukta. If it's kisoy akelim, Tanakama seems to say that it still needs a beis achiza, and Rabbi Yossi says no, it doesn't. If it's kisoy akelim, it does not require a beis achiza. Automatically, it's not mukta. Amrav Yudah Bar Shila, Amrav Asi, Amrav Yochanan, Vushiyesh Toras Kli Alehen. That's only if it has Toras Kli Alehen. This is what we just referred to before. These kisuyim, these covers, have to be usable for some other tashmish. But just using it as a kisuy alone is not enough to make it Toras Kli. It's not enough to take it out of the status of mukza. It doesn't make it a kli. So the kuli alma kisuy karkaos miyeshlan beis achiza in. min ilolo. Now everyone seems to agree that if it's a covering to cover up something in the ground, then for sure it needs to have a beis achiza. That without a beis achiza, it's not going to be usable. It's going to be muktzah. Everyone would also agree that if it's used to cover regular kelim, then for sure it doesn't need a beis achiza, it's not going to be a problem. The whole machlokas is only about kelim that are attached to the ground. Mar sover gazrinon, umar sover lo gazrinon. One says that we make a gzera, the other says we don't make a gzera. So that's one way of understanding this machlokas. The Gemara is about to offer a second way, but again, the first way of understanding the machlokas in our Mishnah is they're arguing about covers of kelim that have been attached to the ground. The Rabbanan think that's a little too similar to covering holes in the ground, and therefore, if you want to make it namuksa, you need handles. Rabbi Yossi says, what do you mean? It's kelim, and kelim, covers of kelim, never need handles. So this wouldn't need a handle either. That's one lashon, lishna achrina. Second lashon says as follows. Keep ligi b'kisoy tanur, mar medami le kisoy karka, or mar medami le kisoy kelim. They argue specifically about the cover of an oven. Tanakama says the cover of an oven is like a cover of a hole in the ground, and therefore if you want to make it non-muktzah, it needs to have a handle on it, and Rabbi Yossi considers it like a regular cover of a kli, and therefore does not require a handle. It's automatically going to be mutter even without a handle, because it's like a regular cover of any other kli. That is the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Hadron lach kol ha-kelim, and now we move on to the 18th parak of Maseches Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us, "Mefanin afilu arba v'chamish kupa shel tevel v'shel tevuah minei ha'orchim minei bitul beis hamedrash." One is allowed to move out of the way if there are bundles of grain in a room, and you need that room either for guests or because of bitul beis hamedrash, you need to hold a shear in the room, you need to hold a chavrusa, a seder in the room. So you're allowed to remove even four or five boxes of straw and of grain from the room. Avalois ha'otzar. But you're not allowed to remove an entire storage. Well, I shouldn't translate right now. Loza, but not an otzar. We'll see in the Gemara what this means. Different possibilities of what avalois ha'otzar means. But you're not allowed to do an otzar, whatever that is. So you're allowed to move a bunch of stuff, but not an otzar. So what does it mean, mipnei ha'orchin, for the sake of guests? So Rashi writes, im tzarech l'mekom l'hoshiv sham orchim l'hasiv b'su'uda, O Talmidim Ludrasha, look Hashin L'tirch of the Shabbos, that you need to set up Orchim to have a meal, to eat the meal. Now, when we talk about Orchim in general in Halacha, especially when we're going to make Halachic compromises, that we're going to say, oh, it's mutter to do this for the sake of an Areach, that even though normally you're not allowed, this is, what's the Yisra over here? The Yisra is Tirch Yisera. That even though it's a big Tircha to be schlepping things around on Shabbos, so we're going to be Makel for the sake of an Areach. So Orchim has to mean when you're doing the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. So this is what the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch. A lot of people are not aware of this. The mitzvah of Hachnas Orchim is when someone needs a place and you offer them a place. Not when you just hang out with your friends. When a person has friends that they like to, there's nothing wrong with spending time with your friends, but let's not fool ourselves into thinking that that's the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. I mean, that certainly would not be allow one to violate any Tirchi Yisera or any other halachos of Shabbos or anything else for the sake of that kind of Hachnasas Orchim. The raya is, it says, Mipnei Ha'orchin u'mipnei Bittul Beis HaMedrash. Sounds like they both have to be an Inyan Shal Mitzvah. That's what the Trumas Deshen writes in Simin Ayin Beis, and it's quoted in the Ramah in Simin Shin Lamed Gimel, that's what Achnas Orchim is. When they need somewhere, and you're providing them with a place. The only exception would be, is if your friend happens to be a Talmud Chacham. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sifein Shin Lamed Gimel, that if you invite a friend who's a Talmud Chacham, that's called a Sudas Mitzvah. Because to be Nana together from a Suda with a Talmud Chacham, to be sitting at the same table as Talmud Chacham, is considered a very great Tzuchus, and that's therefore considered to be a Su'udas Mitzvah. The Shor Mitzvah Ba'alach of Yerach says, the Chodesh Ha'aviv writes, that Rashi's telling us another din also. He's telling us that even if they're not sleeping by your house, and you just are, you know, that they're being hosted by someone else for sleeping arrangements, and you agree to take care of the eating arrangements, that's also called Orchim, because he says, Dafka for the Su'uda. I mean, it sounds like that's all they're coming for, is for the Su'uda, even even though they're obviously from out of town, if they were from here, then it's just getting together with your friends, probably. Then it's not someone typically who needs a su'uda. So that's one. That's in terms of the orchin. And mipnei bitul beis hamedrash, we said as well. So Rashi says you need to set up talmidim to sit and listen to the drasha. In the Sefer Shoshanim L'David, again, according to Sharman Tzion Balacha, he says that's only if you already have the chacham in town to darshan and the talmidim there to hear the drasha. So that where if you don't clear the room, then the drasha is not going to happen. However, you can't clear a room with the plan of then later inviting a chacham, asking a chacham to come, because the chacham might say, I'm busy, I can't come, I'm not able to do it. And then it will turn out that you were tareach for no reason. So you have to be certain that when you're being tareach, that there's actually going to be a benefit in the tircha, and that's why it says dafka mnei bitul beis hamedrash, similar to orchim, that we're talking about orchim that are already here, that you know that they're going to be here. The Ben Yoyada, however, says that the fact that we say mnei bitul beis hamedrash, we don't say mnei talmidim, is because it's pashut that you're allowed to clear out space for talmidim. That's lo gara mei orchim. That's no worse than clearing out for orchim. It must be telling me that you're allowed to clear out the space even before the talmidim show up. Meaning, let's say few people are coming, you don't know how many, and you want to be extra safe, you don't want to have to keep on clearing up more and more spaces, more people come up. So Ben Yoyada says, Mnei Bitul Beis HaMedrash says, that what's Bitul Beis HaMedrash? When you have set up 10 seats, 10 people are already there, and then 5 more people come. So now it's going to be Bitul Beis HaMedrash to start in the middle of this year, to start moving things around to make room for the other 5. So Bitul Beis HaMedrash means to set up in a very safe way in advance to make sure that you have more than you need to accommodate everybody who's going to be coming. Good, weiter in the Mishnah. So what types of items are you allowed to move and are not considered mukta? When we said you're allowed to move 4 or 5 boxes of items for Bitul Beis HaMedrash, for Achnas Sorchim, so what types of items? So mefanin, Truma Tahora you're allowed to move, because Truma Tahora is perfectly fine, a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma Tahora, it's roi for a Kohen. Udemai, you're allowed to move Demai, we'll discuss in the Gemara why. Umaisarishon, Shenitl Trumaso, if you have Maisarishon where the Trumas Maisar was already taken from it, and therefore the Maisar Rishon is completely mutter to eat Maisar Rishon, even though you give it to a Levi, anyone is mutter to eat Maisar Rishon. A Levi is allowed to share it with the Yisrael. The Yisrael is allowed to eat Maisar Rishon. Truma is different. Truma, you give it to a Kohen only. Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. Someone who's not a Kohen is not. Maisar Sheni v'Hegdish Haniftu, or if you have Maisar Sheni or Hegdish that you've already redeemed, and therefore they no longer belong to Maisar Sheni and Hegdish, so you're allowed to remove that. V'Aturma Sayavish M'Nishu Machalizim, some type of dry beans that are good food for goats, and on the side it changes it la'aniyim, that it's people who are poor would eat it. It's still not abundantly clear from the various Rishonim and from the later Gemara whether the proper gear says li'izim or la'aniyim, but whatever it is. Avalois, but here's what you're not allowed to move. Lois ha'tevel, you're not allowed to move tevel on Shabbos. Lois ma'isa rishon shalonit l'chumaso, nor are you allowed to move ma'isa rishon where the chumas ma'isa was not taken from it, because all these things you're not allowed to eat, they're not roi for anybody to eat. Lois ma'isa sheni v'hegdish shaloniftu, nor are you allowed to move ma'isa sheni or hegdish that have not been redeemed. Lois ha'luf, lois ha'chardal, you're not allowed to move. Luf is rash, is a type of bean that's not roi when it's raw, even to be eaten by an animal. Nor mustard seeds, which I guess also are not roi in their raw state. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, this type of bean is at least a good food for ravens, so it's right for something. Chavile kash v'chavile etzim v'chavile zradim, if you have bundles of twigs and stubble and reeds and things like that, im hiskinan l'machal v'hema metaltan l'son, if you have designated them for animal food, then you're allowed to move them at Shabbos v'im la'vein metaltan l'son. But if you have not designated them for animal food, then you're not allowed to be metaltan them on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, let's go back to the first line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said you're allowed to move 4 or 5 boxes. So hash l'chamish mefanan arba mibayi. If you're allowed to move 5 boxes, obviously you're allowed to move 4 boxes. So what's the chiddush? So Gemara is going to have 2 answers. Answer number 1: Amar Rav Chista arba mechamesh. The chamesh may also gadol. When there's a total of 5 boxes, you're allowed to remove 4 of them. But if there are more than 5 boxes, then you're allowed to remove 5, which means you're never allowed to clear out the space entirely. If there are 5 boxes, then you're only allowed to remove 4. If there are 6, 10, 50, whatever, then you're allowed to remove 5. Umay avalos hotzer. Then what does the phrase avalos hotzer mean? Avalos hotzer can't mean, Rashi points out, that you're not allowed to clear out the entire space, because we already said that by saying that you're allowed to move four boxes and five boxes. We already learned that you're not allowed to clear out the entire space. So what does it mean? Shelo yaschil ba'otzer tchila. You can't take anything from a storehouse that hasn't been in use from before Shabbos. The produce is not assumed to be designated for Shabbos use. It would be muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda's broad definition of muktzah, money Rabbi Yehuda, dislay muktzah. That fits with Rabbi Yehuda's broad general definition of muktzah. That is Rav Chisda's understanding of that line in the Mishnah. We'll just read very quickly. Shmuel Amar Arba B'Chamish Kedam Rienshi. When we say four or five, it's just an expression. Really, you can move even more boxes. Mefanin. Umay Avalos Otsar. Then what does Avalos Otsar mean? Shlo Yigmar Kulo. It means that you're not allowed to clear out the entire room. Dilmasi Lashvi Yigumos. Because we're afraid that you're gonna even out the holes in the ground. Avalos Chule Maskil. But you are allowed to begin to remove. Unlike the first sheet of Rav Chisda, he says you are allowed to begin to remove things that were not designated for Shabbos use. Umani Rabbi Shimon, the last name Muktza, and he assumes like Rabbi Shimon, who has a much narrower definition of Muktza, what we call Lesle Muktza, doesn't hold of the concept of Muktza, of that definition of Muktza. Okay.